Pastor Magruder has joined us today. We're going to have a conversation about Christmas. Specifically, I want to talk about incarnation. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Steve.
The salvation of mankind was forecast to us. It was told to us by the prophets in the Old Testament that it was going to come through the house and the lineage of David, and that he'll be called Emmanuel. But this does not explain the why that it must be that Jesus takes on a human form in order to achieve salvation.
That answer really has to start with the resurrection of Jesus. As strange as that sounds, that's an Easter question almost. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Paul says the same thing concerning Christ and the resurrection in Romans 3 when he speaks of the effect of Adam's sin on all humanity. Humanity, mankind, that's the key word. That Christ becomes, as Paul says in another place, the second Adam. So sin comes into the world through human flesh. And so the world must be redeemed in its flesh by God in the flesh. The only way human sin can be dealt with is by someone who bears our human flesh. The Bible says that though Jesus knew no sin, he became sin for us. Paul says in Hebrews that he bore every burden like we do. He's like us in every way except without sin. So he must bear our human flesh to redeem our human flesh so that we would be raised from the dead with a body whole, perfect, sinless.
But why through a birth? We have the whole description of the story of Christmas as recorded in Luke and the other Gospels, and a lot of detail of Jesus' birth, and then near silence for the next 30 years, roughly. So how does this work into that he needed to be born as an infant?
Well, if he's going to be like us in every way, as Paul says in Hebrews, then he must experience life as we do in every way. And that's the remarkable thing about the incarnation. That's a big word. It means enfleshment. If he's going to be like us in every way and redeem us, body and soul, he must be that conceived child in the womb of Mary. He must be birthed from Mary. He must be fed from Mary. He must have his diapers changed. He must be spoon-fed. He must grow and scrape his knee when he falls and he toddles. This is why he must be born as we are born. He must be like us in every way to redeem us.
Cycling back to Isaiah's naming him earlier, he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Yet throughout the Old Testament, God has been with us. He has shown up in various ways, from the pre-incarnate prophet Melchizedek or fiery pillar leading the Jews out of Egypt. God has been with us. So why did he now have to come again?
Because this is his plan and this is his promise. If you remember in Galatians, the Apostle Paul says that in the fullness of time, that sounds strange to us. Really, it literally means at just the right time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. That means our flesh. So this is all part of God's plan from the beginning, but it was going to be at just the right time that this unique manifestation of God's saving work would happen. And that's way above my pay grade to understand why that happened when it did in human history.
Here it is that he is born under the law as opposed to placed under the law.
Correct. And that language is very precise, isn't it?
It is, yes. It's a very different thing. Pastor, I think that's about all the time we have today. But that was very interesting to learn that side of it. Thank you for coming by with that.
Thanks, Steve. We could do 5 hours on this.
I'm afraid so. Thank you.